Hey, I'd like to mention while Judy's setting up is that Charles Pagelow is an experienced structural engineer with a lot of experience with steel and fires working on oil rigs in the Gulf. And he's quite a brilliant guy, very deceptive. His manner would never betray his intellect, but it's quite astute. And I sought to bring him up here, but he had a conflict and couldn't make it. Among the points we have discussed, however, is a rather interesting one about the fact that 1,100 bodies were never recovered from the World Trade Center. 1,100 bodies were never recovered. Not a fingernail, not a hand, not an arm. And this was astonishing to first responders at the scene. They'd come up with ambulances or emergency medical technicians, and they were stupefied at the complete absence of cadavers. And a point that Charles made to me is that human cremation is quite a remarkable process. It requires a human body to be exposed to temperatures of 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit for 3 hours. 3,000 degrees for 3 hours. Now, you had bodies of the World Trade Center 1,100 that just were completely decimated, and that would have required a process that did the equivalent of 3,000 degrees for 3 hours or more, because even after that 3,000 degrees for 3 hours, the bones still remain. They're fragile, but they still exist. So I just wanted to say, look, either what the government has been telling us is, you know, complete bunkum, or something really, really strange was going on. Indeed, actually, of course, both. So Judy perhaps has now got her... Where is it? Excellent. Okay, great pleasure to welcome back Professor Dr. Judy Wood.
Not really bothering us good on that one. But, does this get adjusted?
Yeah, yeah, just stop writing.
Okay.
Just stop writing.
There's some quick ones where we left off before. This is towards the end of September. Towards the end of September, this is what the area over Building 2 looked like. I don't call this smoke. I call it fume. It's just the ground fuming. If this was smoke, it keeps going up. It's just looming over the pile. There's just something going on. And over at Baker's Trust, there's this interesting beam here, shriveled up. It was just a FEMA report. And I would really be interested in talking with the photographer of that picture. Some other interesting cooked-looking beams. And there's our mail truck. Interesting image. This car, Hiroshima here.
Can you tell us about some of the technology that you're developing to fight the war on terror, specifically directed energy and high-powered microwave technology? When do you envision that you can recognize that type of technology?
It is in, for the most part, the kinds of things you're talking about are in varying early stages. Do you want to give anything to add?
I don't think I would add much. I think they are in early stages and probably not ready for employment at this point.
In the normal order of things, when you invest in research and development and begin a developmental project, you don't have any intention or expectations that one would use it. On the other hand, the real world intervenes from time to time, and you reach in there and take something out that is still in a developmental stage, and you might use it. So your question's not answerable. It depends on what happens in the future and how well things move along the track, and whether or not someone feels it's appropriate to reach into a development stage and see if something might be useful, as was the case with the unmanned aerial vehicle.
But you're going to experiment.
I think that's the point, and I think that we have, at the beginning of this conflict, I think General Franks has been very open to looking at new things if there are new things available, and has been willing to put him into the fight even before his employees rung out. And I think that's not referring to these two particular cases of directed energy or high powered and microwave, but sure.
And these are a few of the toys that I found. When I started looking at the data around Ground Zero, I didn't know there was such a thing as directed energy weapons. I just looked at the data, and the data told me there was. And so I looked further, and this is kind of interesting. This is very old information, like 10, 15 years old. It's interesting gizmos. I wonder what they do. Do? Keep in mind, once upon a time, there were some buildings being there, and then they went away. Maybe it's a dust, maybe it is. And it doesn't look like a collapse to me. So, again, part two. Again, this is the new Pearl Harbor. This is the new Hiroshima. Proof of concept. Showing off a new toy. Seen that one before. But instead of in this model wiped out everything and wasn't very well controlled as to the after effects, and they couldn't just take out a few buildings without affecting the one across the street. So, let's start looking at the dust. We have this picture I call the snowball picture. And this one I call the bubbler. Midwestern term for drinking fountain. That looks like a bubbler. Those don't look like very good collapses. Are there, is one dust cloud the same as another dust cloud? Are there differences? Let's start looking at the dust. See what we see. Well, here's one thing I started noticing. You have this two-toned color scheme. Dark on top, light on bottom. And then you start mixing up like they're putting a blender. Dark on top, light on bottom. Dark on top, light on bottom. I wonder if there's a significance to that. As I said, I start coming up with a new vocabulary. There'll be a pop quiz at the end. The one that we should pay attention to, though, is dustification. I'm not saying how it was done, the exact mechanism, but something turned a solid building into a bunch of dust, a bunch of powder. So let's start looking at all the different phenomena and seeing what we come up with. Again, we assign arbitrary terms to each phenomenon so we don't bias our observations. I call this an Alka-Seltzer, or shaving cream. These are the steel wheat checks. They look like wheat checks with outer column bundles. What is this trailing behind them so energetically? Same with this. With the same picture with motion in it, you see it's a smooth process. It's not a bundle here, a bundle there. Oops, too fast. So, here we have the towers. This is what's left. Here's building six. Building six towers over the rubble pile. Missing all that material. And we know it didn't go down into the basement because we had those guys walking around looking for roadrunners. And here are the path trains in February that were pulled out when they dug down to that level. In pristine condition, not a scratch on them. I mean, they probably had a few scratches, but they definitely weren't crushed. And that was underneath the area by building one, between one and two. And the path train actually was what goes under two. I don't know if we should go. Oh dear. Oh dear. This system was projecting. I wonder if what I should have done is unplug the monitor. I wonder if it's something to do with the monitor.
We did a restart and we were able to catch
Are you
restarting? I'm running.
Okay. Are you sure your Mac doesn't run Windows?
Yeah, I already did that. That's one of.
Yeah.
Sorry. So it works if you restart it. Never found that before. That's a bit surprising. But what I had done when looking through all the data is just to start categorizing the dust. There's, dust that does one thing, dust that does another thing, and looking at how it changes with time. There's, right after both towers were gone, the wind was blowing towards the south, and north of the towers, you had a clear blue sky. It cleared out pretty quickly. And then the dust started increasing again. That was an interesting phenomenon. We'll get to see those pictures, hopefully. And, if the dust immediately settles out, you have a clear blue sky, and then you see dust start coming rising up from the pavement. What would cause that?
Dust or vapor? Or dust?
Dust. It looks like really fine dust. But if it was fine dust settling out of the air, it doesn't settle out in 10 minutes. This is coarse dust that lands and then becomes fine dust. Yes.
The friend who was there was a witness and started going over his memory. His vision or his memory was that it stood like a column. And so there was a column of dust that was standing. Then all of a sudden the wind came and the whole thing started going away. That was just your memory.
One thing I started noticing in watching Rick Siegel's video, the new one, is when the dust, comes down the ground, pours out, it's very energetic, and it slows down, it goes as far north as the pedestrian bridge, and there's a video clip of people walking as the crowd's catching up to them, and then it goes upward. It doesn't keep going out. At that point, it starts blowing upward. Okay. Whoops. All right. We're safe. So here we have the next stage. We have clouds going upward. So that was dust going up and out, and then we have this lighter stuff down below. We have the darker stuff up here, and it starts moving outward. We're looking north across Statue of Liberty. Apparently, the dust cloud was blowing towards Brooklyn that day. Remember that. And here's the view from the north into the heaviest part of the dust cloud. The reason why I say note this is none of the dust samples USGS tested were in this area. Who else were? You'll notice a particular design under areas 1 and 2. It's like little fingers sticking up. Turns out toasty cars were located there. And here's some of those toasty cars. I call it fuming. The car's not on fire. It wasn't burning. We just see some of those fumes. This was on VC Street near the intersection of Church and VC. We just turned to dust and instantly rusted. Now looking from the west, looking at West Street, you'll see patches here of dust. There's a car underneath each one of those denser dust columns. And you can see some brighter spots over here where this is around the corner from where the cars were on fire. So here we are. The toasted light hasn't quite gotten toasted yet. Here comes the cloud. Well, this cloud is from Tower 2, because Tower 1 is still standing. For whatever reason, the clouds from Tower 2 did not toast those cars. Here it comes, goes on through. And you can see from this picture, there's the toasted lot. It's not on fire. But here's where Tower 1 goes proof. Remember, it's hard to keep track of. Tower 2 went proof first, then Tower 1. And here's the toasted rye over there. It's about to get toasted. Again, before, and then soon to be after. And here's where it rolled down West Broadway. Now you can tell this is a dust cloud from Tower 1 because Tower 2 went this far. Right to that point. But you'll see in dust patterns later that that's where Tower 1 went to. About a block difference. Gee, what was the distance the two towers were from these points? It's interesting, it goes out just that far, but notice how abruptly the dust from Tower 2 stops. But it has the exact distance it goes before it is moved upward. Here's the cloud rolling out, and here's another image of the dust from Tower 1. It comes out, this is looking from the west across the Hudson. It comes out as it's pinned in, right to the edge of those buildings. It never spills over the grass over here. If you were at a pizza pan or a cookie tray, drop down a pile of dust in the middle of your basement. You'd have a poop go out, and you'd have denser here, less dense, and you'd have a decay kind of density that wouldn't just abruptly stop. So there's the pedestrian bridge there, and this is looking from the west. It's approximately at that point. That's where the cloud from Tower 1 stopped.
The EPA did find spotty levels of asbestos. A sample on a police car turned out
dangerous. This is from a news video.
A couple of blocks away.
Right off 9/11.
But most interesting, in the mix, they are looking, they think, at specks of steel that used to be beams and elevators, marble from the lobby floor and facings. So they were once the strongest architectural elements in the two towers. Were pulverized, large portions turned into clouds like this one. So there is this mystery. If some of the hardest materials
here,
vaporized,
stop.
How?
If the cloud stops right at the pedestrian walkway. We'll see that clip again later on. So we're looking from the south. Right where this outer bit of land stops, that's where the pedestrian walk bridge is. And this is all covered with dust, and then it moves southward. Again, here
the EPA did find spotty levels of asbestos. A sample on a police car turned out dangerous. Another sample a couple of blocks away, not dangerous. But most interesting, in the mix, specks of steel that used to be beams and elevators. Marble from the lobby floor and facings.
The people are even running.
The strongest architectural elements in the two towers were pulverized. Large portions turned into clouds like this one. So there is this mystery. If some of the hardest materials were vaporized, how
come we have closed papers? Very good question. So here again is West Broadway. Before and after. And here's where a bunch of toasted cars were. They weren't toasted with the cloud from Tower 2. But over here, the cloud from Tower 2 did toast the cars, and you have a lot of fuming of cars over in that area. We're again looking down West Broadway at the street level, the swamp, I call it, and there's a lot of toasted vehicles here. Close up. More toasted vehicles. Alex, you can see that this is already rusted. So they almost instantly rusted. So we'll put that down in our data list. This is door handles again. And someone commented that this doesn't look like for a car fire. Car fires look like they have a lot of soot and junk on them. Right. That doesn't mean this picture is wrong. It means that it might be a different process than a typical fire. And this poor car back here is missing its engine block again. And we have, again, the intersection where the toasted light is here. Tower 1 stood there. And you can see the fuming back behind Building 7. A bunch of cars back there were fuming. He's turning into fumes and disintegrating. That West Street, BC Street intersection was just quite intriguing because it was just covered with paper. I call this Mr. Branford. He's in a lot of pictures. I don't know his name. It just has Branford on the back of his jacket. This is a very interesting picture. These people were in the cubby holes hiding, and they just come out of hiding, and like, look at this guy's posture. Oh my gosh, where did he go? Tower one is no longer there. And they just, like, this guy's arms folded. Just, what happened? They're shocked. They don't know what to think. Yeah, it looked a little bit bothersome that there was a tower there when he came in the morning. And here's Mr. Branford standing there. Looking across DC Street, there's a toasted car lot. It's about a couple blocks or a long block away. But they're waiting in paper. And just to the left is Building 6, and on the other side of Building 6 is where Tower 1 was. I don't see anything else in the street. So the paper is not burning. So was it hot? We've all seen these cloud chase pictures. This is VC Street, where that's Building 7 a couple blocks away. So this cloud is chasing these people down. Here we are, east of the complex, by a few blocks. People getting chased down by clouds. Did we ever see any toasted bodies left on the street when the cloud passed? This is the swamp, West Broadway, that was, had all those toasted cars. It was covered with people moments beforehand. We didn't see any toasted bodies. Just, people didn't get toasted there. So we have these fumes going up into the upper atmosphere. Looks like this in the 12th, looks like that in the 13th. How do clouds move? This is Kuwait oil fires. And these do go in the upper atmosphere, but that's, you know, very fine particulate from burning. It doesn't look like this. This is white. This is from the 12th, from the satellite image. Notice how it goes straight, and then it has a kink in it, and then just kind of dissipates. I think it does that at a particular elevation. When it gets really high up, it's no longer, there's not enough atmosphere to have wind. And this is the next day. You get this bluish haze that keeps pouring upwards. That's from, the International Space Station took this picture. Now we'll go back to that VC West intersection. I call this the slot. It's this opening in the middle of the street that goes down into a tunnel. Nobody's in there right now. This is right after Tower 1 went away. People are just exploring it. Soon after that, there's this picture by the Library of Congress. Very interesting picture. I came up with the term fuzzy blob. You'll notice these little fuzzy clouds, like one's right there behind the water cooler, and then you see this guy holding his nose. There's another one down here in the spot, and then this poor fellow, I wonder if he inhales one. It doesn't look like he's doing too well. There's a lot of other ones around there, but what are those? I've termed them fuzzy blobs. You know, maybe they attack steel. Maybe there's something in them that's activated. Here's one eating the bottom of the mail truck. Here's a bunch of, I call that fuming. But there's a little bit of fuzzy blobs also on this side. That's the slot looking backwards.
Now, these pictures, the day of...
I've got the data on a lot of them. This one is from 9/11, and that's on 9/11. Because this is Building 7 here, so we know it's on 9/11 because it's still standing. And then looking out across, this is from the 13th. That's the West Street with that few floors of wheat checks from the western wall of Tower 1 laid out there in the street. But we see this fuming down here. And look at this, in October, we still have fuming from Tower 1. Why do we have fuming? Now, is that steam? From all the molten metal? But wouldn't these guys look kind of cooked at this point? The more images from the 31st of October. Look at all this fuming. From the ground. if those who planned this event knew about this after effect, they'd need a cover story, wouldn't they? What's interesting is this picture is slightly different than this one. It's not constant. It sputters. Also, the arm of this digger is got a different amount of stuff. So apparently the stuff's moving around. I noticed they have a hose here, a line that's sprinkling water over, keeping it down. But must be heat. Again, fuming pictures. But I call this nano haze. It's just the material appears to break down finer and finer until it just starts floating.
Have you read any reports of
this smell? I have read some reports of an odd smell, but I'm not sure what it means. But I would love to hear from people who have smelled it and how they describe it.
Born one of those.
It's great.
Yes. Doesn't smell like a burning building. It's very painful.
This is great. Thank you.
Well, I smell this every day and night until December of that year. And it didn't have a smell like a regular burning building. It was very painful to the nose. At the time, I was thinking, am I smelling asbestos, fiberglass, what is this? But never smelled it before since.
Describe the
texture of aroma. Quite, I would say, it was more the sensual feel of it, more than the smell. It was very painful, sharp. You know, it was more of a pain than
a smell. Like the first time you saw it, you were
told it was nose? Yes, exactly.
And compare it to something else.
It had some component of a burning building. That's kind of in the background. And even on the first few days, we could smell the burning body, but really, in December, it was just, we lived about a mile from ground zero, and it was so strong that we couldn't hang out on our fire escape. It pushed us in off the fire escape.
Did you pop?
Oh, I didn't, yes, I had sinus reactions, you know, pretty serious.
What was the name?
Tracy Blevins. Go ahead.
I prefer to share my experience with whatever you might call it.
There were some people that said we should go down. There was all the clubs in that area were closed, and so there was a man who was like a party promoter or whatever, and he's I don't know if anyone's heard of him, John Perry Barlow, and so he said, come to this friend of his club. And it was only a couple of weeks later, I stayed in my apartment and just taped the windows closed because I was concerned about having, you know, getting exposed to any kind of toxins. But I decided just to do it and go down there because I guess everyone was really depressed and just to be with other people. And the club had air cleaning devices, so you could only smell that when you were, they turned those on for the party. So you could only smell the smell when you're outside. And I had a reaction, which was that whenever I smelled that smell, my throat would become extremely irritable, and I would feel like I was, like my glands would start to swell. My glands in my throat would immediately start to swell. And so anyway, I had a drink there. I had like a Ruin. I'd never tried it before, and there was a certain taste in it, and it was like really, it tasted just like the smell. Okay, so I thought, oh, I guess it's really benign after all. I guess it's just like a peaty smell. It's like a peaty thing that you might get out of a cask from a scotch. And I thought that was what lagavulin tasted like. And then later, maybe some weeks later, I mean, actually downtown, I was laughing about it. It said, it tastes just like the smell. And people were looking at me like, you're crazy. Why are you even drinking it? But I'm very slow, I hadn't figured that out. And so I tasted it another time. I tasted scotch downtown by the Ruin, and it had the same taste. And my theory is that the clothes were off, that, you know, they had the whole, so that obviously somehow it had gotten into the drink, whatever it was. Because later, maybe a few months later, I tried it uptown, and I realized that the Ruin doesn't have that flavor in it, for what it's worth.
And, yeah, so...
Would you say the smell, could it be like a moldy, musty kind of smell? No.
I mean, yeah, that was the idea, you know. It wasn't exactly like that, but, you know, it could pass for something like peaty or musky.
Okay. That's very informative, very helpful. Thank you very much. We'll talk more about that.
Why did it change Tracy's hair
and not Tracy's? It does the same thing.
How do you know
it was the other way around? Well, yeah, what's fun about it, man, I thought it had this, like, orangish tint to them, the ones I got from the FEMA site. Here's a picture I was describing while we're waiting for the reboot. This is about a block or so north of the WTC complex, and you can see the toasted cars over there in the lot, burning away. So it isn't a whole lot after Tower 1 went poof. The sky is clear blue, but if you notice around the feet of these people, you see this fine fuzzy dust. I term that the fuzzy fuzz balls. That's different than fuzzy blobs. Fuzzy blobs eating on things. Fuzz balls are just this cloudy thing around the feet. You could say, okay, these people are stirring up dust before they settle down, fine powder. How could it have settled out that fast? The cars are just getting up to speed with the burning. So why would you have dust settling out of the air down to the ground?
You can have dust settling out very rapidly on these explosions unless it's dead.
And then immediately it starts coming up?
No, I wouldn't think so.
So the change, so something is changing with the whatever it is that's on the ground. There's a lot more pictures of these fuzz balls. Just where the feet are, and again, that is so fine, it couldn't have settled out. It's rising up. As though the material could maybe continue to be breaking down, big dust landed quickly, and then started breaking down into finer and finer dust, so it starts floating upward. It's so fine. Yes?
In the
nanoparticle
ring around the ocean,
suspended. That's what this appears to be. But it didn't start out that way,
no.
But it broke down.
Gravitational forces don't operate.
And that's what I say this data looks like. And here's the transition between fuzz balls at the feet and then turning into the ground fuming. Between this picture on the left and the picture on the right, notice it's coming up all by itself. It doesn't need the feet to stir it up. Found this picture. I thought this was interesting. Hiroshima? Look at the fuming. Good food for that. Oh, and I mentioned this thing, and now we're in the new Hiroshima. You know what the new Nagasaki was? Anthrax? The 1-2 punch. Here's the street, clean. Street sweepers out scrubbing the streets in the way, impeding emergency vehicles. Aren't they down there looking for survivors? No, they're scrubbing the streets first. And here in this picture on the right, it looks like they scrubbed it with a toothbrush. Out here, there's some crud over here. It's very clean. But on 9/11, they started cleaning the streets, at least wetting down this fuming. People might start asking questions. You can use the molten metal myth at ground zero, but this is a block or two north. Why are the streets fuming? But it's scrubbed down quickly. And you've got a hose job. Continually. Yeah, the streets were clean, that's the ear off of. Constant scrubbing, but notice there's some haze in the background. There's always this fume coming up. More street scrubbing. At a construction site, why don't you wait until you're all cleaned up and then scrub the streets? But they're fuming. You scrub them, nobody notices they were fuming. But what do you do with the lawn, the front yard? You're putting in potting soil. This is in front of one of the WFC buildings. It was across the street from Tower 1. This looks like brand new potting soil. Bought in. Why did they dump that on front? No, there was a terrace. Over the terrace lawn out front. That's too bad. The toilet is doing some, you know, landscaping. How did the dirt get inside that fire truck? It's, you know, inside the cab. Of course, we don't know what happened to the engine block here either. And all the dirt spilling out. And then we have the bucket brigade. I do not know what in this bucket is so important.
That it would be sent off to war.
Some sort of a vault.
And if it was really hot and you had metal down there, why isn't this dog's feet getting burned? He doesn't seem to be having a problem with it. And well, another thing that's interesting, look on this guy's face mask. He's got a little monitor. See what he's breathing. Some people have got to have monitors and other ones didn't. Now, this picture on the 14th shows they had a big wrench on that day. This was the northern walkway that went from WFC3 over to Tower 1. And building 6. That's building 6, Tower 1 was here. This is the pedestrian walkway. This is what it looked like on 9/11. This is what it looked like on the 14th. Just 3 days later. Where's all this dirt coming from? Tremendous amount of dirt. Did they have all these potted plants, you know, landscaping inside the walkway? How can people walk across? Now, there's another interesting thing I started noticing. The rubble pile of Tower 1 started getting bigger. Stand up there, the guarding the dirt pile. But it's getting bigger and it's just capturing dirt. There's that picture. Let's compare this picture with this one. This is where Tower 3 was. We're looking from West Street. At Tower 3, Tower 2 was in the background. This is from 9/16, 5 days after 9/11. And here we are, like 3 weeks later, in October. If you look carefully, that dirt pile has gotten bigger. If you were walking along the ground, we're going to get up on top of this building, you'd have trouble climbing up. Here, there's a nice smooth slope of dirt going up to the top. And you have, I call them diggers, the correct as grapplers, that magnifies the dirt in terms of all of them. There's like 5 of them in this picture. What are they picking up moving around? They're not loading stuff in a truck to haul away. They're just pushing dirt around. Compare that zone with that zone. And I'm looking west across Ground Zero. All new dirt. That's the 13th. When did it appear? Let's see if I... This is Rudy Giuliani the next morning after 9/11, on the morning of the 12th.
We were able to move 120 dump trucks out of the city last night, which is giving a sense of the work that was done overnight. So some of the debris has already been removed. More of it is being removed, and it will be done by barge all throughout the day today.
People saw dump trucks coming and going all night long. Oh, they had been removing debris. That's what this. It seems like that was a cover story being planted. Why are you removing debris before you rescue people? Because once you start dislodging things in the pile, they're going to shift and you're going to squash any possible survivors. And it almost sounds like we'll have it all done by the end of the day, you know, by barge. Maybe he was expecting less material to be left. Trucking in the dirt. Here comes the dirt. This is from SEMA, these pictures. This is a blow-up of this down here. They don't fill the trucks all the way to the top, so if you walk along the sidewalk and look up, it looks like an empty truck. And it's covered with a tarp. And this is the dirt getting trucked out, like, you know, changing diapers. You bring the dirt in, take out, use dirt, bring in new dirt, yeah. And it looks like that, especially this one has just, you know, random debris in it, but all the trucks in front of it, it looks like a smooth bread loaf. Nice, smooth dirt.
So the yellow truck down on the bottom, those are headed towards the World Trade Center?
Yeah, this is headed south on West Street, the World Trade Center is down here. So here's this, you can see this building is up on West Street, a couple blocks north. So they're headed towards the World Trade Center. All loaded. This is a few blocks east of the World Trade Center. World Trade Center is up this way. This is DC Street. You walk on here, Church Street's up about there. And this is soon after things were being moved around, and this tree is all covered dust, except for the tire tracks from this 18-wheeler. Look where he's coming from. You can see the direction he's moving in. He came from north of the complex, heading southward. Why would he be coming that direction and where he down the flood dirt? I think Jim made a good observation. Maybe it was wet dirt, and the water's leaking out, and that's what's helping the tire tracks be so pronounced there. But you can tell which direction he's moving in. Let's look at WFC1. That's World Financial Center 1. This is just a little bit south of the Liberty West intersection. Here we have, right after the event, there's a foot car ball up. This vehicle looks disturbed, shrunken on the front end, weird appearance. We notice that all of the facade around the doorway is of the same material. I don't know if it's ceramic or marble or glass, whatever that facade was, they all was affected equally. None of the rest of the facade was affected except the windows. All the windows blown. No stab wounds from projectiles, just the windows gone. And then in the next picture, they had the debris moved away. And then the next picture, they bring in new dirt. And then a little bit later, this is from the 23rd. There's some yellow bulldozers scooping up that dirt, scooping up the entire terrace and moving it out. There's WFC right up to it. You can see those yellow bulldozers scooping up the terrace. So why did they bring in new dirt, scoop it up, and haul it back out? Oh, let's see. Notice the median strip. Same thing happened to it. It all got cleaned up. That's why dirt there. And again, compare these two times and notice how that the pile that more dirt on it. It grew over the next 3 weeks. Now we're going to go down into the basement of Tower 1 as it's been excavated down. I think this is the end of October. And I call this the Gestapo picture. That's what this guy looks like. He's guarding her. Water hoses being dumped on the fumes. And the ground is so saturated, the water is leaching out into this puddle. There's a close-up, and it just might lighten to see it better. But that's the puddle there.
Nice rainbow.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. And again, look at this rusty column. There's the core column. Where did all that dirt come from anyway?
I'm missing something. When you're talking about they're moving dirt out and moving dirt in, what kind of dirt are they moving in?
Potting soil? Maybe it comes from a landfill?
It could be, it's nice, rich-looking dirt. Like it could be good pine soil, or some of it looks like it could come up from a landfill. I'm just looking at the pictures of what I see. Now, this looks like regular dirt here. They bring it in, dump it down, and then within a week, scoop it up and move it back out and bring some more in.
Might be a Chernobyl
moment. Is that how they clean that up?
No,
like
there's
I understand that dirt is one way of taking care of treating contaminated areas.
But the idea of burying the entire flood property is about the Chernobyl reactor in Japan is a long-term solution to prevent further radioactive dust from emerging in the atmosphere.
There's a close-up shot of this. You can see this dirt is totally saturated to the point the water is running off into this puddle. Now, if we had wet metal under there, does that make sense? Covered with wet dirt, so what do you think this material is over here? Steam? I don't think so. Now, here it is in March. It's over in the corner. Still kidding. They detonated this dirt, and it made a ramp to drive over the other side. That was the equipment that was starting to damage things. They again, lots of dirt piles. They're hosing down things over where the digger is working. Ah, Cheetos. I call this section Cheetos, because this looks like a Cheeto. Yeah, this is the British version. These are French fries. But that looks like a Cheeto. Could that be molten metal? Is there any possibility it could be molten metal? Let's take another closer look at this. Yeah, I think they have an audio. Do you hear that? Oh, not yet. This, if in the hydraulics of this digger, we have up here this silvery part that slides inside the bigger part. If this were really hot down here, this part's going to expand, and it's not going to be able to slide inside that part. You're going to break the seals for the hydraulics, and everything's going to seize up.
So won't that take time? You've got a big thermal capacity if they don't hold it.
How much heat with time?
Somebody can calculate that.
How hot can, how much temperature can this thing operate in? Well, let's look at the data. This is for hydraulics, the operating temperatures. And it's not like the oil in your car engine. You know, each of 10W40. Well, they go from viscosity 10 to 40, so the two temperature ranges, from starting up cold to when it's hot, and you don't want it to be too thin at high temperatures. So what does that tell you? Well, the maximum generally operating temperature is 82 degrees centigrade. After that point, you permanently damage the equipment. So 180 Fahrenheit. What temperature is your oven when you cook cookies? A lot more than 180, it's like 360. So you can't get one of those diggers and reach in your oven and pull out something without damaging it. It definitely isn't going to reach in and pull out molten metal. And if you're digging down into the wherever the molten metal is, there has to be submerged in that heat. At least something greater than 180 Fahrenheit. And if the digger is parked on top of a hot pile, it's already overheated. So here's the highest operating temperature down here. They gave this range in this different mechanical engineering handbooks, and this one came from the web. It's on my website. Now, what temperature would you say this item is if this picture was real? If it were real, okay, I'd say it's, you know, light yellow, lemon, orangish, that range, and 1,000 degrees centigrade. That's a lot more than 82. Not even close. And this is the lower limit for viscosity. If this is 140 down here, this highest end here. So you need it to be like way out here. There's no hydraulic oil that functions at that temperature. Perhaps we are the victims of PSYOP, all of us. Perception management. Here we have this picture, and later one appeared on the internet looking this way. And we were told the pyramids of molten metal. Well, if you look carefully, this fellow here is standing down in a hole. Is he waiting in molten metal? And you see this fellow has a flashlight or something in his back pocket sticking up. It doesn't appear here. Also, the color seems different. But if that were molten metal, and those guys stuck their faces down in there, they wouldn't have any faces left. But who wants to sit and think about that? No, we just say molten metal and go on. How we're introduced to images counts. First impression sticks. On 9/11, there's a lot of questions everybody had. We were given answers instantly, and heck, we don't want to, you know, think about 9/11 again. It's such a horrible situation. You don't want to look back. So you take the answer you're given and run with it. And it keeps getting repeated over and over again. The first time I saw this image, I was shown this one. February 1st, 2006. And I was told this was evidence of thermite. But if you look at the actual picture, where the contrast hasn't been adjusted, here you don't even get to see that the spire is turning to dust. that it trains people to, when they see this picture, see the actual thing, they're going to say, oh, that's super thermite. They've memorized it. They were conditioned into it. They were tricked. Let's see, I'm going to back up on this one. This is a video clip from a news broadcast the next day, on the 12th of September. Scott Pelley asked these two doctors, where are the bodies? And the first one, you can see the horror go through his face. He just doesn't want to accept what happened. So he makes up an engineering answer that they don't accept. He needed an explanation. The FIOP team hadn't given one to him yet. So he made up his own, and you can see how badly he needed it to hold on to some sense of reality. And if everyone was in that vulnerable state that day, they were very vulnerable to suggestions like this. So watch what how this guy. Oh dear, what happened to sound? Oh, that's this thing. It's the
light. All our casualties yesterday.
Oops. When I picked up, I switched it off.
Dr. Tony Docker, he and his partner, Dr. Lincoln Cleveland, are emergency room physicians from New York University Hospital downtown.
We saw all our casualties yesterday at our hospital. Stopped at about noon.
It got really strange and very spooky. It just stopped coming in. That had anything to do with the blast. You know, at the time, I was thinking, you can read a couple things into that. Either people are buried and they're going to start bringing bodies back, or just everybody died.
Where are all the people who were in these buildings?
The buildings were built, the structural support of the building is the shell, it's the beginning of the building. I remember when they were built from the New Yorker. The innovative architecture of it is that the outer shell is where the strength of it is. And I think what happened is the whole thing imploded. It was like a chute that went straight down.
What does that mean to the inside?
It means that the explosion has nowhere to go except down. I think another building collapses, the top lane, pieces fall off, there's a diffusion of the energy, and in this collapse, the energy all went straight down. And I think that, practically, anybody in that chute did not survive. I mean, it probably had the force of close to nuclear blast.
These firemen from Brooklyn have been taking the mountain down piece by piece, and many of them share the pessimism. The shock initially of the victims of the people who were in the building.
Ten stories
on top of it.
And yet there were no people.
Did you
say? I've got a couple of third alive. Last night, this morning, phone's going like a really small from what we heard. But I think that we have a good 8 o'clock this morning, who was a very good shape actually, amazingly enough. I think right now it's just going to be a very slow process of being
into
a level.
Doctor, it seems to me that it must be very frustrating to be a physician and to have really so few patients to treat them.
I don't know the numbers, but I certainly think that means that a lot of people made it out alive. Obviously, there's some incredible tragedy for people who are alive.
What do you make of this?
So those are real people. How they reacted. But no one had said in the story yet. And we were grasping for a story. But we have a whole nation, a whole world that's grasping for a story. They're given one. They're going to grab it. And not look back because it's such a horrible thing. They don't want to have to relive it again. Now, this particular one.
This particular one is
what I call a psyops video. It's to reinforce the molten metal myth that got introduced somehow at some point. I want to make it clear that in no way do I think any of the emergency workers were lying when they said they saw molten metal. They were conditioned to say that, and everybody was saying it, and everyone kept assuming that that's what it was, and we just moved on, and it became this myth. But if we look at the evidence, it does not support the idea of molten metal. And as you look at their words, imagine, does this make sense? Or think about it. Now, if you're going to pull a good psyop, you start out with saying something honest, because the first impression of someone, they're wondering, is this person someone I can trust or not? They say the right thing, I'm going to trust them. And then they move into something else that's kind of odd. That's just a good rule of thumb, but this is an interesting boost for molten metal.
This is the top tower. This is 104, 106 stories.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This is what it was. Up there was the north tower. And you look, and you see, and there's no concrete. There's very little concrete. All you see is the moon and the steel. What happened is the concrete was pulverized. And I was down here Tuesday.
So they called
and
it all
right on a flat planet.
Pardon me? Ah, I'm going to make this longer. There we go. Yeah, he's trying to tell us it's just the concrete that turned into the dust.
This is the top tower. This is 104, 106 stories.
Oh.
This is what it was. Up there was the north end. And you look. And you see, and there's no concrete. There's very little concrete. All you see is the moon and the steel. What happened to the concrete was pulverized. And I was down here Tuesday, and it was like you're on a foreign planet. All of Lower Manhattan, not just this place, from river to river, from the rough powder, 2 inches thick. The concrete was just pulverized. And what you explained over there, the smoke that still comes out. There's still fire down below. There's like an incredibly deep pile of rubble, and the tower goes down 5-6 stories underground. That there's still fire underneath.
This is downstairs, and they weren't
up there. This is
where they're almost at the cliff. We have to get closer to say that it's hotter than it's probably just too much green. We got the small window, this is long, that we saw in the floor at some point, and it looks like the floor is
he had something falling out.
Okay.
You gotta hold up on one. He had something falling out.
Yeah.
Okay, we hear it. It's 14 and every other piece is going.
Great. See, that's the way it's so smoking. That's when the fire's gonna start burning. 8 weeks later, we still got fire's burning. Every now and then, one of the pieces of equipment will dig in. They open up a small area, the oxygen will rush in. There's a consumable brown black smoke coming up. That's because that fire just got more oxygen. I mean, this is a giant, it looks like I think there were about 2,800 degrees.
Underground fires, ignited by burning jet fuel, smoldered for months. Fed by molten steel and buried fire. Office furniture. We have handled it.
One of the more unusual artifacts to emerge from the rubble is this rock-like object that has come to be known as the meteorite.
But, if the boots are, still how boots are saying that they're melting, how hard is your oven need to be for the steel to melt? And what would happen to your feet in there? It's incinerated. But she's not lying. She's repeating what she believes because that's what she was told and never thought twice about it. We have an entire nation that fell into that routine. Entire world. And it gets repeated and repeated and repeated, and folks forget to stop and think. But I'm asking all of you to stop and think. Could those feet be in boots that are melting, where the steel is melting?
Sorry, I'm totally lying about that.
because people accept it and move on. Now, why did the people need an answer? What was the question? The booths were disintegrating, maybe. And the worker wanted the wise booths disintegrate after 2 hours. They tell them that it's the molten metal underground. They don't tell them it's molecular dissociation that's affecting his boots. That whatever it is that's happening is contaminated to the boots, and the steel in his boots might be getting affected.
I think one of the most interesting things when you talk to Willie Rodriguez and the boots and fire guys, there were no fires in the stairwells, there were no fires in the elevators, there were no lower fires in the tower whatsoever when they were going up there doing the rescue. So, and the fuel, you've got 8,000 gallons of JP4, that stuff's gone instantaneously, so you don't have it rushing down and burning everything. So when you talk to the guys who are here, talk to Willie and stuff doing the rescues, there was no fire down there.
Yeah, they have to run the fire hoses.
But the fire hoses weren't even up at the top. You know, some of the stuff was gone, but it just wasn't happening.
Somebody has a question there, too.
Second, people talking about boots.
Yeah.
Anybody
who
had foot
injuries? Nope. I haven't heard of anybody who had burns on their feet. Okay, continue on here. So, looking at this grill, you know, this is steel with a regular, you know, office fire. So, you know, office fires don't melt steel. Much less steel so boots. Now, here's Rudy Giuliani talking about something.
There were fires 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit below the ground. I could be standing here, you could be standing there, and I could be describing to you, Governor, the site. And then a fire would break down between us. And it's just by luck, or it's just not a God who won't kill
So we saw this picture. How do we know that was real? How do we know if it was a psyops? A week later, they had another picture that doesn't show anything hot. Well, if it was hot here, it cooled off immediately, so why do we have the story about things continuing to be hot? Plus, they had this guy climbing down into the ground right at that place. That's where they were. That's the hole number two. This was a map of it. And that's on the 18th, 2 days after this picture, and well before this picture was taken. Molten metal? Ah. Unless you're familiar with this, it happened over a week ago. The steam explosion in New York. And the poor fellow was at the wrong place at the wrong time with his truck here. Now we have a video. The fellow who was in that tow truck, third degree burns over 80% of his body was intensive care. I hope he is hanging on, but it didn't look very good when I read in the paper. Water hits something hot, it explodes. It expands by a factor of 1600. That's how some pressure cookers give off steam when you cook food. And the last one in 9/11, there was a waterman that broke on West Street near this lake. There's a guy wading out into the middle of the lake. Where's the steam explosion? Do you think this guy's a walking out in the middle of steam? But the cover story convinced us that that's perfectly normal for fires that are burning for 99 days. We need that cover story. But from what I see here, these guys are not hot. There's something else. And people would have been asking questions. What is that coming out of the ground? That's a lot of fuming going on. You know, if they're standing on a grill, wouldn't they look more like a grilled cheese sandwich? And this is the end of October. been some pretty serious healing going on. They're wetting it down, but those diggers are still operational, so that can't be that hot. And the guy in the cab can't be that hot. On the 15th, you have what looks like steam shooting out. Monday on the 14th, it rained. It's dry on the 15th, you have this steam-looking stuff. On the 20th, it's raining, no steam. We have wet colors over all of the beams. So as for molten metal, I would question that. Takes a little bit to load. But at a time when we're all vulnerable, just like we're given the names of, 19 bad guys with box cutters, does anybody question that? The saddest part I had on 9/11 was before noon, my graduate student came up to me and said, Dr. Wood, who's Bin Laden and what's Al-Qaeda? How come they have these names already? Because I think Morton Reynolds will show us tomorrow that he had the crime solved in less than 60 seconds.
On the news today, they said it would take a year to solve what happened.
Or even 2 years.
We noticed the FBI declared it couldn't be carried in instantly.
Right, immediately. They were the ones that couldn't be carried.
Black water is not terrorism.
So there's this other aspect. Human deaths. This is a picture from FEMA. We know it's not hot because those diggers wouldn't be working. Here we have steel that turns to rust. I think we all know that steel, eventually it rusts with creeping crud kind of on it, but it doesn't instantly rust. Wouldn't we know that instantly rust? Iron, like an iron skillet sitting in the sink overnight with water in it, it's bright orange. So this is steel, it's not iron. Why does it look like iron? The pot thickens. It's like instantly. I wonder if the bigger holding the glowing molten metal, the Cheeto picture, is to train us to see molten metal when we see orange pipes that are rusty. How does the front end of this truck become instantly rusted in some places, not where all the dents are? Some other places is missing paint, but it didn't rust. It just instant rust. The aquifers don't do that. The chemical plant fire in China. Does it look familiar? This little fire down here, you get the orange. Right after 9/11, this is the first day FEMA uploaded pictures for 9/11. Look at this fire truck, and this is bright orange. Something here is rusty. Rusty here. Every bit of steel is turned to rust that you see.
Are you
thinking any? I'm looking at all the pictures in totality and looking at the consistency. There's various folks that took different pictures at different times, different groups. Probably individuals took pictures that showed the same thing. This instant rust seems very consistent across the board. And this particular fire truck was filmed by different people. This is just five individuals who have taken these other pictures. This is the FEMA picture. Very rusty, and that's like right afterwards, within a few days. One to two days. Here's a picture of a steel pipe that's orange rust. I cut out the top left-hand quadrant so you can see the enlargement. The bottom of this pipe is not rusty. Could it be there's some sort of a cloud wherever it bumps into something that rusts, and there's other kind of cloud that is not activated doesn't do that? So maybe we have activated clouds. And just to... out of interest, I decided I would try a tacky Photoshop job, and I highlighted all items in the picture that were that color, and then tweaked the color scheme. But you notice these little specks, various places. of where it's that color, that rust color. That's the toasted cars. Instant rust. This particular car here is parked under FDR Drive. Why is the inside of that car good? So it looks totally toasted, but why is it rusty? And red one's left here, here. And this is looking down the street of swamp, down West Broadway again. Notice how this has that peeling look to it. His butt on there, something funny going on with the roof. It looks like it's pooched out, kind of fat on either side. And there's a car down here. This is, the car doesn't show up so well in this picture, but it's rusty already. I'm going to closer look at it later. But there, yeah, the bus isn't so pooched out up there anymore. Something continues to deteriorate, it appears. From the USGS study, they were going to show us, the content of ferrous dust. One thing I've picked out of their text, notice they accidentally call it iron, the iron mean. And I've seen other people in the 9/11 movement call steel beam iron. But iron rapidly rusts, steel does not. Steel is also much stronger than iron. That's why they use structural steel to build buildings and don't use iron. From the satellite imagery, this is without the background grayscale map, you can see ground zero and how the dust was left. So that's in the way we saw that cloud move. Guess what? They didn't collect dust samples from that region much. So what did the dust readings look like? And here's the various sample points. You notice how there's a corona row here? But when it pink zones are, that's where I know there's toasted cars. There's none of those toasted car places where they took dust samples. Now, they did this quantitative analysis on one chart saying, lost, moderate amount, trace, and not detectable. And I colored these dots. Blue is the highest, and it goes down to white. Or white is unreported also. So you notice the color scheme, lots of yellow up here. Red is kind of there. Then, this is the black area. I superimposed it with a smoke map of where the smoke plume went. You notice it's not such, not many data sample points here. Then they also did a quantitative set of data. And these numbers, I tried to make the color scale similar. And here's where those points lie. How do those two compare? Well, I put them in an ordered list, and then tried to compare the same point on one scale was down here, and on the other scale was there. There's no correlation. They should kind of follow the same trend. So it just seemed kind of random. And these were even reported on by the set of blue data. So I don't think I trust that data. It seems kind of random. Besides, it was collected 6 or 7 or more days later. After it already rained once or twice, heavy rain. And they talked about it was caked up and they had to chip it loose. Do you think they had any fine particles in that glob that they measured? I was going to look at a bunch of lab enough. I have 2 different theories. The first one is by Ron Zafar. He had the partner across the Hudson, took a bunch of pictures, and he got a lot of what was going on at Tower 1, I mean Tower 2. The another series was Tower 1. I'm not going to go through these quickly, but let's notice a few things. Now they're cooking away here. Something interesting about this picture here. Both towers are standing. Why are 7 Manhattan fuming? It's gotten hazy down here. And then you notice different things coming out of the building at different points. Like, this black stuff coming out. And there's also a place where, the mechanical floors of the North Tower, it had fuzzy blobs. You get the, come down the home stretch there. But there's a bunch of interesting events. This one can't see very well, but the mechanical floor of the North Tower has a big fuzzy blob that comes out of it. And I call this silly string. It looks like silly string squirting out of the mechanical floor of the South Tower. And you can tell when the building gets ready to go. If something gets really furry looking, there's this black stuff. This is South Tower. And then there it goes. Right after it goes, notice this series. And what I noticed in this was, as the car rolls out, not much happens, but then notice Tower 1 starts sitting out this stuff that I call lathering up, looks like soap suds. Now look at this picture here. So it's not from the clouds rolling out. It's from some of the process that's meant to happen sometimes that people really don't realize what's going on. And here it is really oozing out of it, and then it gets shut off. And you have blue sky underneath that. And then you didn't have such a good series for Tower 1. But this picture is just beautiful. You have the core columns left standing. But it's streaked up. I wonder if that 24-foot diameter, cylindrical thing, the flat thickens. And remember this fire turned to dust. Let's see these, of course, I'll zip to them quicker. And again, we know that that's probably not thermite. It's probably something else happening. Ace Baker put together a series for me of Amar's Afar pictures. Notice how the clouds roll out, and then just start lathering up. You don't really notice it because you're busy looking at Tower 2's rollout of the cloud. But why is that coming out of every single, appears to be coming out of every single window? And it comes out horizontally. You know it's not shooting up from the ground because this cloud at the top stays the same angle. It doesn't look like any pressure's lifting it up. But the top is the dark and this is light. Maybe it's two different ingredients. Now it's good. How high the bed top went. Not much higher than the top of the kingdom. And then it just had diminished. Also, beforehand, we saw all of those firecrackers going off all over the place. We didn't see anything like that. Here, this is the other set from this free host, whatever that site is, GJS, I call it. This is a beautiful picture of Tower 1 lathering up. Just pouring out this lather. This other thing I call smoke rings. Looks like somebody blowing smoke rings. Intermittent black things coming out. Here we have the light ingredient. We have the dark ingredient. I wonder what that means. And you see this series. Beautiful lathering up pictures. And then they quit lathering up. And this has been smoke rings. What is that black stuff that comes out? Fire doesn't do that. It doesn't, intermittently spurt out some squiggly things. Something else I started noticing, just before it goes, you see vertical, looks like fishing poles sticking off. Now this is the series. We're looking at the last one's just before it goes, these three in here. This is the next to last one. And you might go see some vertical black things in there. Notice there's no fire here. Earlier, when there was a fire, it didn't have smoke coming out of there. And there's the last one. Can you see those little fishing poles? Picking up. It's hard with this resolution. It didn't seem to come out real well. And then we know how it rolls on down. It stops right there, and then it goes up. with it? Is that really just dust? Is there, when the cloud maybe, is the dust is breaking down, it quits having its momentum because it's no longer big particles. It's now all turned to really fine particles that go up at just the same point in time. And here's that pedestrian walkway again. And how the dust stops right at that point. Now, there's something else there. This is one of those so-called squid. No, see that fuck rod is floating out.
The second tower just collapsing into a pile of rubble.
Here's the AP lead out of New York in a horrific sequence of destruction, terrorist crash.
And after that, the second tower just collapsing into a pile of
rubble.
After that, the second tower just collapsing into a pile of rubble.
I don't see a flash and a single explosion blasting out. I see like several windows of, it looks like this ladder squirting out. And remember these in Building 7? They're explosive events. They don't look like the kingdom did. They don't need to watch the kingdom again. We didn't see bright flashes. And Building 7, we had this 47-story building. Look at the street down below. Can you believe it's going to drop straight down without spilling out across the street? That's more like twice the world's record. And nothing's come down. That's great. To the left here, out of there, it's just... Can they come down to a nice, neat little pile? Like Camelot, all these grow neat little piles at night. And the post office building didn't get any damage. It had debris on the roof, a little bit of dust. Here's looking down that street. Here's after Building 7 went poof. It didn't even reach across the street, the rubble pile. Something I started noticing, look at the dirt. Look at the water squirting out of the Verizon building onto the rubble pile of Building 7. There's no fuming coming up where the water is hitting it. If it was steam, if it was from heat, you'd see something. That's dirt. And look at the pile kind of gets bigger with time. Again, looking at this lathering up, and the smoke rings, that was Tower 1. This is Building 7 lathering up. In Building 7, we saw the video of it dropping. Didn't it look like it just got pushed off the edge of the cliff and just went down without any resistance whatsoever? I wonder if this lather tends to weaken the building so when a beam hits it, they can control what goes at what time. Let's think of a picture, a photograph. If you're not familiar with photography, you say, how on earth, how much energy would it take to burn an image of somebody into that piece of paper? Unbelievable amount of energy, and that guy wouldn't be sitting still long enough to keep it in focus. But once you understand photographic emulsion, it just takes a teeny bit of light energy to cause a chemical reaction in the photographic film. Let's say we had the same event here, where the building was filled with some kind of gas, some kind of plasma, something, that the beam energizes when it hits it. So the beam does not have to be very powerful, but it controls where it goes when. And accidentally, maybe some of this lather got out in the middle of Liberty Street, and when the beam hit there, boom, you have a hole. Oops. And maybe the black part is like more hardener than resin. It's a different mixture. It's a catalyst for this stuff. You know, maybe it's a faster photographic film. Some faster, some slower, because they couldn't lather up Tower 2 ahead of time. That would be too obvious. So they needed to have a stronger thing working. This one's pretty incriminating. We're told that Building 7 was damaged when Tower 1 fell on it. Tower 1's still standing. Why is something so loud enough? This picture is taken from Reed Street. If you have a map, you can see that's just north of, I guess, Chambers. Now, if lather in the middle, we've seen this picture a lot. Look at this one. It's got more dark lather. If you want to make sure that thing is really well controlled, maybe you put more of the darker ingredient into it so it really just drops down to nothing. It doesn't like these audios. Okay, I can force quit and restart and start past that. Nope. I've never seen that problem before. Well, there's pretty much there's a few other things, but you've seen this lathering up, and I really think there's a whole lot to be had about that. What purpose does it serve? I've looked at some sites and seen like spray-on antennas material, so obviously you can have some things that are activated by other things. We know about photographic film. Perhaps there's a kind of a beam that triggers this material. What I wanted to show you is an interesting picture I've gotten from OSHA. From the OSHA site, they're taking out this big tank. Supposedly it carried freon for pulling the building. They have a lot of those tanks. But they had a really weird cover story for it. How many people here are familiar with how toxic freon is? Is it very toxic?
You don't want to go
breathe it in. No, I breathe it nonstop, so it burns all the action out of the room. So you can... It only displaces oxygen. That's the hazard to it. It runs oxygen out of the air. Because that it just makes the oxygen get pushed out. But you don't have to have special, authority to transport it. It's not like it's the most dangerous thing in the world. And you look at the safety data sheet, and it doesn't say that it's deadly. It's just that, you know, if it runs all the oxygen out of the room, you don't have any oxygen to breathe. So why is OSHA saying we had to be very careful of removing these tanks and get clear the whole site the day we were removing, you know, one of these tanks? Make sure it didn't leak, because it would instantly kill somebody. I wonder if that was the cover story for the heavy blobs that those policemen, the firefighters were breathing. They were, you know, killed over. And it makes you kind of wonder, could they have put something in these tanks? Maybe some of the freon tanks bleed them off over weeks before that, and over the weekend when they did the power down, put something in those that they released. Maybe we saw them sitting out of the mechanical floors. So it becomes kind of curious, and the air handling system could easily deliver that much stuff. That slathering up material, yeah, good control. You can crank it up, crank it back almost instantly, and I believe you might wear out the air handling system to put that much pressure through it, but you could deliver it really fast. All right. All right, two. You've got to check carefully to see which ones to avoid. So apparently it's every one of those gift ones. The sneakers did the lathering up sequence. You could get past those. Yes, this is my favorite desktop pattern for, when I was teaching. You get people interested in what was this? What was going on? Baker Set, that's the same thing. I think that's another name for it. And got a pop quiz for you. How many things can I see pop quiz? I suppose it shouldn't be my name. All the way to the bottom. So where was that one that I wanted to avoid?
You might apply to it now.
So this one,
The EPA did find spotty levels of asbestos. A sample on a police car turned out dangerous. Another sample a couple of blocks away, not dangerous. But most interesting, in the mix, they are looking, they think, steel used to be beams and elevators, marble from the lobby floor and facings, so that were once the strongest architectural elements in the two towers, were pulverized. Large portions turned into clouds, like this one. So there is this mystery. If some of the hardest materials were vaporized, how to account for the presence everywhere of paper? Fully intact letters, business forms, stationery. Paper is so fragile and combustible, and yet somehow, maybe because we have so much of it, it was everywhere.
Oh, good, this didn't hang up. Now to the video on the left. You see paper coming out of this. It looks like it's exploding. How can that be a regular chemical explosion like this dynamite? You would have the paper being shredded. It looks like the paper just gets turned around in the mix. And if you notice in the figure on the right, it's like it just suddenly turns into instant lather. This is another very interesting picture. You're watching a car ignite with spontaneous combustion. Oops. Remember the Coke truck that's parked down there, around the corner. And we have this video here, the guy walks north. He walks up Church, and you see a flash right there at that point. And this corner is where a bunch of cars become ignited.
For example, it is significant that there were all the images of people lying for the days to come, but also leads to a lot of the anxiety. Things that we would see initially are people having difficulty concentrating, difficulty sleeping, feeling skin sadder than usual. Those are the kind of things that we see initially. Most people are a little bit better than that. But we do know from kind of the past before that all the city and other natural disasters outside and inside
get ready.
The people are able to talk about it, especially the trained mental hygiene workers, the better their prognosis is and the less severe the symptom of allergy will be.
Is it normal, doctor, for people to experience some unrealistic fears right now, whether it be about planes or tall buildings or something like that?
See, again, Leonard Johnson arranged some of these clips for me, where we could see it over and over again. again, walking up this way in the street, and then at the end, cars go on fire.
Is it normal, doctor, for people to experience some unrealistic fears right now, whether it be a
spontaneous combustion?
Planes or tall buildings or something like that?
Absolutely. It's very easy for the events to kind of mush them out of proportion. We have people here that say that we were trying to get in an elevator to go upstairs to one of our other counseling centers. Most people refuse to get in an elevator. That's an example of kind of a soft
foundation.
Everything is going to become stressful for a lot of people in this city for the next few days, and so there's some more stability in the sense that normalcy is returning.
Just in dealing with the people that I've come in contact with, I notice a lot of people whose moods are fluctuating.
They're not talking about what they're seeing. I don't think they realize what they're showing.
Normal doctors for people do.
And you see this one where the building just turns, erupts into this emulsion. This is speculation about these fuzzy blobs. Note what he's saying. Here's the guy holding his nose. Yeah, it must smell pretty bad. He acts like the Strion is a very invisible killer. And they cleared the air. It was a special event, removing it. I'm wondering why they presented it that way. Again, this is that comment made on a forum that so well said. We stand at the beginning of a new age. Our government has in its hands a method of disrupting the molecular basis for matter and its first impulses to weaponize it. Is this so hard to understand? Like splitting atoms to create destruction was hard to understand in 1945. This is the new improved model, it appears. But these people should have been warned. I see this guy in the front in the white shirt and wonder about his office mate or his spouse that was left behind. Why didn't they tell these people? Thank goodness. That's the first time I've met Bob. I'm going to show you the pop quiz here. Real quick, let's see, this is some pictures we took last night. We drove up to, we did a road trip, took the drive up to Minneapolis. Now that you've seen these various characteristics, see if you can identify anything. First of all, this is as close as we could get. This is on top of a hill, you know, several blocks away, and here's a piece of bent bridge. That's all we could see. You know, layers upon layers of guards, of police tape. There it is. There it is in the background. That's as far as you can get. if the area down below me, approach it just to see what would happen. We're looking from different areas, and one thing I noticed, I don't think it's rained here in the past couple of days.
Yeah.
But the ground was soft and wet. Hose down. There's a police tape. There's a bent thing. I leaned that over one of these police tapes, and I was going to, you know, see, how would they arrested? What would they say in the paper? She leaned almost 2 inches over the police tape to take this picture. Shame on her. What were they trying to hide? Then we walked down Center Street, and they had Center Gardens with bright lights. And I asked this gal, what are you trying to hide? And she does this with her earpiece. She says, I don't have to answer that question. Now, Mr. Harris, it looks like the Secret Service kind of gizmo. She was being trained on the job, I suppose. It was 2nd and 12th is where they had that guard loose. No pictures allowed. Does this seem like the normal thing for an accidental bridge collapse?
For one quick observation, I guess CNN, they aired the original footage of the bridge actually collapsing at what they call I-4 and
Okay. 15. Well, we collected some dirt samples as close as we get, but you see how far away we were, like a half mile? So, you know, it's kind of where this. And then there's this vehicle that looks like it was kind of dark in this picture, but it was loaded down with a bunch of officers. It was very heavily patrolled. And there was one woman that leaned out over, you know, one step too far, and these police officers, the guards, immediately came and were getting her out of there. You know, quite a distance away. And we accidentally slipped in behind some other people and got into this parking garage and got these pictures. On the bridges, adjacent bridges, pedestrian bridges and so forth, where you could look, they were closed, and nobody could get close enough to see. That seemed kind of strange. Some newspapers on Wednesday evening.
Has anybody looked at it on Google Earth?
And there's this pickup truck here, in down. If you can see the side wall of this flatbed, it's got a little fire going. Why is the steel part of this flatbed burning? This vehicle has a kind of peeling look to it, and it's got a hole in the roof. You get some other interesting things going on. This is for the back shot. And close up of this is here, We have, this red car has a hole in its roof. But why? There's been some interesting things to point out. It's got to have these circles. And I don't know what's here. I don't know what, why these pictures don't agree. One's supposed to be close up from the other, but something moved. And that is the one that's close up over here with the hole in the roof. So it's an interesting point. And I wonder if this was jet fuel. Was there anything jet fuel in construction space? The thing that jumps out at me is all of the fuming. None of the fuming. If it's smoke, it's in one place or another. Why don't we have any dense seal? You know, the end of that looks kind of odd. There's questions. I don't know the answers. This does not look like a normal accident investigation when you're kept a half a mile or so from where whatever happened. And these are the pictures of the bridge beforehand. Last year, I think they were taken. But what would cause every section to fail at the exact same moment? Okay. Thanks for the enjoy.
You may be beginning to appreciate why I regard our speaker as the leading scientist studying the events of 9/11. Judy Wood, thank you.